Sometimes the fun begins when the paved road ends. Chevy Silverado 2500 HD is made to work hard and play hard on the road or off. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com for details and experience life in HD.
Green alligators and long-necked geese, some Humpty Bagcombers and some chimpanzees, some cats and rats and elephants, but Lord, I'm so forlorn, I just can't see no unicorn.
I think proof positive, Schwani, long-necked Greeks.
Long-necked Greeks.
I heard it just fine.
And Noah looked out through the driving rain. Them unicorns were hiding.
The Irish Rovers. With their classic song.
Oh, them silly unicorns.
Welcome in. Time for our weekend theater segment. We've definitely got an Irish flavor on that for you today. As the St. Patrick's Day weekend continues in Chicago with the big parade yesterday, the Southside Parade today, and all the celebrating that's going to go on this week leading up to St. Patrick's Day next week. Talking about classics, a long-time Chicago production that celebrates the Irish is back in Chicago again, Flanagan's Wake. I remember very specifically when I first started here at WGN back in 1994. I started in 1994. I don't know if Flanagan's Wake had been going on before that, but one of the first things I did when I came here to WGN was I was the go-to fill-in man for Roy Leonard, the great Roy Leonard, who had introduced me to Aaron Moore and a lot, you know, so many of the great Chicago Irish traditions. And Flanagan's Wake was one of those things. And one of the first things I did was interview some of the cast of Flanagan's Wake, this long-running improv comedy that had been going on in Chicago. And one of our first guests that I talked to here on WGN was Jack Bronis, who is currently directing the new version that's here in Chicago, but was part of the production back then as well. Jack, welcome back.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much.
Every 20 years, we're going to have
Every
you on the show.
Every 20 years,
we're going to make
forward.
It a date.
Looking forward to 2037.
That's right. And we've got some of the cast here with us again this morning. But talk a little bit about just the history of this whole thing, how it got started. And I mean, it ran forever in Chicago. It's one of these long-running shows here.
And it's still running in Chicago. We started in 1994, and we had a small improv theater on Belmont Avenue called the Improv Institute. And I had this idea for an Irish show, and it pretty much became a hit the first day. So, and it's been running since then, 23 years.
Talk a little bit about the premise of what this is. I mean, the title kind of says it all. It's
Flanagan's Wake. Our dear friend Flanagan, who everyone loves, has passed on.
Right.
And we are here to celebrate his life.
And there really is nothing like an Irish wake, is there?
No.
I mean, that's part of that. That has to be where all of this came from in the first place, I would think.
That's right. The Irish wakes are joyous and joyful and not sad occasions like weddings.
Very depressing.
Exactly.
Depressing.
Exactly.
Like weddings. All right, I understand that. So the show is back up and running again, this time at the Chicago Theater Works at 1113 West Belmont in Chicago. And why don't you introduce some of the cast, the people who attend Flanagan's Wake.
Right.
Who are here with us today.
Well, we have Chase, who's playing Brian Belly Bunyan. We have Alex.
What'd you say as he introduces you? You know, say hello so we can hear
you. Right, yes. Hello.
Hear your voice. Yeah.
And
this will be integral to what's happening.
Later. Alex is our Mickey Finn.
Hello, everyone.
Of course, Greg is playing Mayor O'Doul.
That's right. Box is closed, bar is open.
And Jennifer is playing Kathleen Mooney.
That's right. It's a pleasure to be here today.
Nice to have you here,
Kathleen. She's the town mystic.
I don't know why I feel like I have to talk in a brogue also.
You know,
you do.
It's just fun to do.
It is fun to do, isn't it?
And it makes everything you say sound so much more lyrical.
Too. I feel like I'm more, like I could write a play or something now.
Well, you should.
Yeah.
You should.
I could write some really... you know, depressing play about my family right now.
I have to compliment you, by the way, on the beautiful toupee you're wearing.
Thank you.
Beautiful. Blonde and curly. Wonderful.
I could have got one that has a lot of hair on. I chose to get the one that looks a little bald.
The green highlights are what make it.
For St. Patty's Day. Yeah.
That's what I try to do.
This is the wonder of radio, isn't it?
That is what I try to do. Exactly right. So, Mickey and Mayor and Brian and Kathleen, tell us a little bit. You know, when you're at the Flanagan's wake.
Oh yes. Mm-hmm.
Tell us what goes on, and you know what's happening with.
Well, we share a lot of our stories about our dear friend Flanagan, who's passed.
Why don't you tell us a little about Flanagan?
Oh, I would love to tell you. He was a wonderful man.
Yeah.
You know, he was always willing to help you whenever you wanted. If you needed any help, you would always offer a hand. And one of my favorite stories about Flanagan, oh my goodness. I told Flanagan once that, you know, I keep sheep. I do. I have a lot of sheep on my farm. And my favorite sheep.
I didn't understand what you said there for a second.
Sheep.
I got you now.
S-H-E-E-P.
I got you.
That's right.
Yeah, okay.
Well, I told Flanagan I needed to share my sheep, Bitsy.
Share your sheep?
Share sheep, Bitsy. Yes. Okay. Her name is Bitsy.
Oh, Betsy.
Bitsy.
Bitsy.
God, nobody understands us in this town. All right. So, anyway. Flanagan comes over, he helps me hold Bitsy down, but this was actually just a ploy, because you see, Bitsy, she's fine with getting her hair sheared, but Flanagan, he hated getting his hair cut,
oh,
right?
It's true.
So
there was a look of sheer terror in his face.
It's right.
sheer terror.
So his fiancée, Fiona Finn, of 30 years, she and I cooked up this plan where he came, he was holding Bitsy, and Bitsy's actually got a talent. If you use the word alley-oop, she's a really fast wrestler. She can take a man down in half a second.
Really?
It's true. So you go, alley-oop, and she took Flanagan down flat on the ground, and she was sitting on him, and we were able to cut his hair, and he was yelling the whole time for like 15 minutes.
You're talking about Flanagan.
Flanagan, he hates his haircut.
Right.
Yeah. But then afterwards, we gave him about 4 Guinness. He forgot all about it, and we ended up doing that every couple of weeks.
Let's see, look, a happy ending.
I know, right?
If you will.
We miss him. And I know Bitsy misses being able to lay on top of him while he's yelling.
Right. Yeah, I'm sure it was a high point of Bitsy's month.
She's very sad.
Yeah, I can imagine. So, guys, I'm going to take a break, and then, guys, you can tell us maybe your best memories of Flanagan.
Of course,
you know, some great stories, and they'll also they're going to share a little Irish song or two for us this morning as well. It's 10:47. The cast of Flanagan's Wake is here, which is in an open run at the Chicago Theater Works, 1113 West Belmont in Chicago. You can get tickets at chicagotheaterworks.com. or 312-391-0404. We're back with more next on WGN. Meantime, though, we continue with our Week in Theater segment, celebrating St. Patrick's Day with Flanagan's Wake that returns to Chicago in a brand new home, the long-standing improv comedy that's in an open run at the Chicago Theater Works at 1113 West Belmont in Chicago, and the cast and... John, you're the director now of the show, right?
Yes.
But originally you were part of the cast back in the day.
Yes, I was a cast member for the first few years until I got tired of that. But over the years, I have been in many productions of the show.
Is it more difficult to do a show like this that's pretty much improv every night, right?
I think I
got to think that one night is completely different than the next.
Every night is different.
Yeah.
I think it's more fun to do a show like this.
Yeah.
I'm an instructor at the Second City, so it comes naturally, I think.
Yeah, more than a scripted show, Jennifer / Kathleen.
Yes.
more, you know, a show that's, you know, like tightly scripted versus a show like this, which do you prefer?
Well, they both have their interesting moments, but for me, especially if you're going to do a show for a longer period of time, I think doing a show that changes it up every night with, you know, improv is the way to go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, Kathleen, why don't you introduce us to your other friends here who are
I'd love to join us
here for our dear Flanagan's wake, who's just recently passed away.
Of course, Dean. Well, to my right here, we have the mayor of Graplin, a fine man, a fine mayor, and a great bartender.
Kind of you to say so.
Aye. And, of course, next to him, we have Mickey. Mickey, who is Fiona Finn, the fiancé of Flanagan. That's Mickey's, Fiona's brother.
I was so close to being his brother-in-law.
Right.
So close.
Aye. And then, of course, Flanagan's best friend, Brian Ballybunion.
Yeah. That's right. That's right. Drinking buddy for many, many years.
So, Mickey, how do you remember Flanagan best?
Well, Flanagan was engaged to my sister for 30 years.
That's a long time.
Right. Well, he could never marry her because Flanagan's mother was engaged in a long-standing feud with the Finns.
Oh.
And as long as she had a breath in her body, no Flanagan could ever marry a Finn.
Right.
And I'll always remember the two of them sneaking out and leaving me behind to make up some wild cockamamie story about where they had gone off to and what they were doing when they wooed. And I'll tell you, I got on the bad side of Mother Flanagan more than a couple of times for sticking up for the two of them. But he's a nice guy. He was a great gentleman and a scholar and just one of the nicest gentlemen you'd ever want to meet.
Yeah, yeah. Did they finally marry? Before his untimely passing, never did.
No, he died and left her almost widowed.
Almost widowed. Mayor, what are your best recollections?
Oh, Flanagan. Well, you see, Flanagan was always looking for a way to pay his bar tab. And he was always asking for drinks on credit. And so one of the many jobs he was looking for to do is we were, Father Fitzgerald was looking for a bell ringer up in the tower. And, well, they searched the entire town of Graplin. Graplin's not a large town. It's only 100 folks. And with Flanagan's passing, we're down to 99. So we're always looking for someone else to...
Some new fresh blood. Yeah.
So you have a lot of sheep, though, Mayor.
They don't count.
Okay. All right.
Otherwise, we'd be the fourth largest city in Ireland.
Right. They can't count if they don't count.
They don't count.
Kathleen seems to be really into the sheep, I'm noticing.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, you know, she's fixated. But someone's looking after the sheep.
Someone has to look after the sheep.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So he was always looking for a job, and the Father Fitzgerald was looking for a bell ringer for the chapel, right? So he brings up a couple of folks who's going to come up and take a shot at it, right? One fella sees if they can ring the big bell up in the chapel. First fella comes along, well, he can't even pull the clapper down, can he? He's got two small spaghetti arms. Second fella comes along, well, he can't pull the clapper either. Right, and the only one who's left there is Flanagan, right? So Flanagan says, oh, well, I can ring that big bell, just watch my stuff, right? So he backs up, right? And instead of using his arms, he rams himself face first into the bell, right? Crashes right into it and makes the most beautiful, melodious sound.
Angelic.
Angelic, it rings across the countryside, right? And Father is amazed, he says, want to hear that again, right? So Flanagan backs up and backs up and backs up. And he takes one step too far and he falls out of the bell tower behind him.
See,
right.
Yeah.
What a shame. And the two fellas who came by, they happened to be walking past when they saw Flanagan lying on the ground. And they said, ah, do you know that fella? It's like, no, but his face rings a bell.
Yes. Oh.
A bell, you see. His face rings a bell.
Yeah, no, I got
Go
it.
Home, Mayor.
You see, there's two...
No, Mayor, we saw that coming
up. Oh, you did, yeah?
Am I back?
You know, it's true. That's the part that makes it funny.
Brian's laughing like crazy over there.
Oh, I love it. It's one of my favorites.
It's absolutely true. I was there when it happened.
Brian,
it's not a joke.
Do you have a short story, Brian, about Flanagan?
I do. Flanagan was always a lad for a good time. And he'd always have these crazy ideas like tightrope walking on roofs or flagpole jousting. But they always ended up with him with these near-death experiences. And there was one particular experience involving a tractor and a ramp and a bungee cord, which landed him in hospital. And he was sent off with...
Can't imagine how that could happen if that combination...
No, everything seemed to work out just fine until... You know,
perfectly safe.
Right. With some miscalculations, I'm sure. And he ended up in hospital with a cast on every single limb in his body. And I saw him walking out the very next day, just fine as a please. And so I asked him how that could possibly happen. And he told me that while he was in hospital, he was visited by death. Death, when his robe and his sickle came to visit him at his bed.
Yes.
Right. And he said, Flanagan, it's time to go. And Flanagan said, please, no, I'm not ready yet. Just give me a little bit more time. And he said, hold on, Death, I have an idea. If I can beat you in a competition, will you let me go and keep my life a little bit longer? And Death says, very well, fine. What is this competition of your choosing? And of course, you know, Flanagan, he wanted a drinking competition. And so...
Of course.
Right. So Death snaps his bony fingers together and all these Guinness bottles pop up all around them.
Right.
And so the two of them start going at it, knocking back bottles and bottles and bottles, and they keep going and going and going. And eventually, clearly, Flanagan made it away. I said, that's amazing. You beat Death at a drinking contest. Like, how far did he make it by? I said, well, about 20 bottles in, and he finally passed out. I said, well, what did you do then? Well, and he said, well, I had about 10 bottles left, so I scooped them out with me and took them home.
That Flanagan.
Right.
You can see why people love Flanagan so much.
We love Flanagan.
What a man.
Flanagan's Wake is at the Chicago Theater Works, 1113 West Belmont in Chicago. It's in an open run, 312-391-0404 for information or chicagotheaterworks.com. Guys, thank you so much for all coming in today.
Thanks for having us.
We have a very, very happy St. Patrick's Day to you all. Could you, as we go to a break, just maybe give us a little bit of your tour allura?
Oh, that
I know you're so proud of.
Are you ready?
Yes.
All right. Ta-ta, ready? One, two, three.
Tour allura, allura. Tura lura lai, tura lura lura. Hush now, don't you cry.
Just the ladies then.
Tura lura.
Chicago Blackhawks hockey is coming
just
up next.
Tura
720 WGN, Chicago. Have a great day, everyone.
Tura lura.